Begin the current daf himself. This is Bayan Daf Yud. Begin four lines down the top of the Yamut, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, we had posed a contradiction from the second Mishnah in this Masechta to the first Mishnah. The first Mishnah seemed to indicate that regarding the, when it comes to Simchas Yamtiv, rejoicing in Yamtiv, ways of getting, let's say, meat, and way of slaughtering animals, that then Beis Shammai is Mekel, as we find in the Halacha regarding Kisudam in the first Mishnah, and Beis Hillel is more Machmer. Yet on the second Mishnah, we find that Beis Hillel is the one that's more lenient, which allows going Mishavich L'Shavich from one Dovkot to another one to get moving the ladder, and Beis Hillel permits it. Beis Shammai does not allow it, which is regarding Simchas Yamtiv, and Beis Hillel is lenient, and Beis Shammai is being Machmer. So the Gemara said that ultimately it's not a contradiction, because each one has an element that we could say is not by the other one, and it would make sense why Beis Shammai is Mekel there and Machmer here, and Beis Hillel is Mekel here and Machmer there. So then, therefore, the Gemara said that this Rabbi Yochanan had said Mukhlefes Ashita, that must be that the opinions were changed, must be going on a different contradiction, because that's not such a contradiction. So the Gemara tried a different Mishnah, and the Gemara said that also is not a contradiction. That's why Gemara continues now and says, so Eli Ikasha, rather, if there is some type of a difficulty, of a contradiction, regarding the halachas of Simchas Yamtiv, that the first Mishnah in the Masechta shows Beis Shammai being Mekel and Beis Hillel being Machmer, and another one showing Beis Hillel being Mekel and Beis Shammai being Machmer, is rather Hakasha. It's the following Mishnah, it's a Mishnah later on, which the Gemara breaks it up into a few different components to show that this is the Mishnah that's a contradiction to the first one. We find there in that Mishnah it says, Bishami Oimrim, Ein Noitlin Es Ho'eli, one is not allowed to take the pestle, which that's a thick, heavy board where they would grind the wheat into grits. Now that board is what's called in the Halachas of Muktzah, Kli Shemalachti L'Isser. It's a vessel that its utility is for something forbidden. Generally what it's used for, like a screwdriver would be used for a binyan, for Makabe Padesh, for doing something that's forbidden. Here this board was generally used, it was a malacha for Isser to grind the grits on it, which you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. Now, so that Beis Shammai says, one is not allowed to take that pestle, L'katzav alav basar, to cut meat on it. Now Beis Shammai holds, one is not allowed to move a klisha malach de le'isr, even what's called a tzerach gufa, even if you want to use it for itself, you want to use the utility of the kli for something that's permitted to do today, because you are allowed to cut up meat, still Beis Shammai says it's forbidden. Ubisil matir, however, Beisil say that it's permitted, which is the halacha of muksa, that a klisha malach de le'isr, even though it's generally used for prohibited things, like here it's generally used for breaking down the grits, and which is a malacha that's forbidden, but however, now you want to use L'Tzerach Gufa for its own utility for permitted usage on Yom Tov, that's permitted according to Bissel. That's the machlik is later on that Mishnah. Now, one thing the Gemara says, Al Megabe Simchas Yom Tov, so we find regarding Simchas Yom Tov, which this is the cutting up of the meat on this board, on this pestle, that Bishami L'Chomer Bissel Kula. Bishami says we're stringent, we don't allow to use it, and Bissel is being lenient. Yet Vermin, but that seems to be a contradiction from the first Mishnah of this Masechta. This is Hashchech Chayiv Oif Bishami Bechulu, that regarding the slaughtering of the animals that require Kisudam, Bishami says you're allowed to do it, and then go ahead and dig up the ground, even though there are some leniencies that are requiring to be involved regarding Malachas and Yamtiv. And Mishil says it's forbidden. So see that since regarding Simchas Yamtiv, Bishami actually is the Mekel, and Mishil is the Machmer. Well, that contradicts the Mishnah later on. So that is what Omer Rabbi Yechanan, he says, Mukhlevas Ashid, you have to switch around the attribution of the opinions, because obviously that's a contradiction. But again, the Gemara asks, Mimai, from where do you see over there that that's a contradiction, to say that you have to switch around the opinions? Demolahi, maybe it's not true, because Adkan L'Kam Rabbi Yishami Hasam, where do we find over there in the first Mishnah in Masechta that Bishami is lenient? That was Elahecha De'ika Dekernards, as we said in the previous stuff, where there's the element that you have the spade already stuck into the ground from before Yom Tov, hence you're not really having any Isurim being done, and therefore, one's allowed to do that on Yom Tov. Aval hechad like a deker, no, it's lie, but where you don't have it stuck in from beforehand, then you don't say that, and therefore that would be the equivalent of the case that they're arguing about regarding the pestle, where you don't have any proof. It's not like having the spade stuck in beforehand to show that you're not doing anything wrong. Maybe there he would be machmer. And Inami, similarly, ad kan lekami bisil hocha, where we find bisil being makel over here, that regarding the halachas of using the pestle, is eladika teres klilav. That's because at least, although it is what's called malach de le'isr, its utility is generally used for a prohibited thing, but it's still going to be permitted because ultimately it's still a kli. It's not like something that's muktzah machmes gufa, it's something intrinsically muktzah, like a rock or something that has no utility, it's a kli. It has utility, it's just generally used for a prohibited thing. But therefore, since at least it's a kli, that's why Beis Hillel holds that you can move it at least l'tzerach gufa for its own purpose, that is to use it for something permitted on Yom Tov. Aval hasam loy, but maybe by the Mishnah, in the beginning of the Masechta, where you can't, it's not even a kli at all the earth, there they would hold that to be machmer, to say you can't do that, to use that earth and to dig it up and to cover the blood on Yom Tov. And therefore, what type of a contradiction is that? Each one has something that would make sense, that there to be machmer and there to be mekel. So Ela ikasha hakasha. The Gemara says that if there was a certain contradiction between their opinions in Simchas Yom Tov, that Rabbi Yochanan had to say Mochlefes Hashita, it must be later on in that Mishnah, where Bishami say, one is not allowed to put the hide, that's the skin of the animal which was skinned on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to put it lefnei hadarsin, in front of those who step on it. And that is, you're not allowed to lay it out in a place where people are walking to and fro, that like a doormat, where, because that is one of the necessities of the process of what's called ibud, of tanning, of working out the hide, where it gets worked out through the stepping on by people, which that's a malacha that's forbidden to do on Yom Tov. So you're not allowed to put it there in front of those who step on it. And the leg b'yana, and you also can't pick it up, unless there's at least a kezayis of meat, so that gives its utility, but if there's no kezayis of meat, then you're not allowed to even pick it up, it's muktza. However, Basil says it's permitted. Now, the assumption of the Gemara right now is that why did Basil permit it? Because of Simchas Yom Tov. Why? Because if you don't let him to utilize the hide to put it there so people could step on it or to pick it up, then he's not even going to initially slaughter the animal because he doesn't want the hide just laying there. And then he's going to be resisting, he's going to be holding back Simchas Yom Tov. And therefore, Alma Gabi Simchas Yom Tov. So we see regarding rejoicing on Yom Tov, the Bishami L'chumra Bisil L'kula, the Bishami is stringent. It says, even though it's going to stop people from slaughtering their animals because they want to do something with their hide, still we don't allow it. We don't let them move the hide if there's no kesayis or to put it where people step in it. And Bisil Armekel. Yet Reminer, that contradicts the first Mishnah in this Masechta that says, HaSheikh et chayv oif b'yam t'b'chula, where we find regarding the mitzvah of Kisadam about slaughtering the animal, which is regarding Simchas Yom Tov, that Bishil is the one that's Machmer and Misham is the one that's Mekel. So that, Rabbi Yechonim Mechlefes HaShita. That's Rabbi Yechonim said that you have to switch around the opinions because obviously that's a contradiction. Now, so again the Gemara asks, Mimai, why do you say that it has to be switched around? Maybe it's not a contradiction. Dimalohi. Where do we find over there in the first Mishnah where Bishamai is lenient? That's Elhecha Deka Deker. No, it's where you have that the spade is already stuck in from before Yom Tov. Therefore, you already see that there's nothing really that you're doing wrong. But in this case, we don't have that element, so to speak, of the spade stuck into the ground beforehand, where you have just a classic Isser over here of Muktza or of the putting the hide to do part of Ibud. Why should that be permitted? Inami, or similarly, that ad kan l'kami b'sil hacha, where do we find b'sil over here being makel, being lenient regarding the hide? That's el d'chazi l'mizga ilave. That's only because it is fit, at least for people to lay on it. Because that's how they used to sit in the times of the Gemara, that they would lay the garments down on the floor, and they would lay on it, they would be sitting in a kneeling position, as the Gemara says in Masechta Psachim, where, therefore, just the laying it down on the floor actually has utility. So even if there's no kesayis bus, or even if you're putting it where people step, the Bishil would say, it doesn't make a difference, you're allowed it because it has a Yom Tov purpose. And the Yom Tov purpose, you're allowed to use these things. But regarding the halach of Kisadam in the first Mishnah, where there you don't have any Tzarech Yom Tov, it's just you want to use it for the mitzvah of Kisadam, but there's no Yom Tov purpose per se, the Bishil would hold that it's Aser. And therefore, why is it a contradiction that their Bishil is Machmer and here the Mekel, or vice versa, Bishami is Mekel and here the Machmer, if they have different components? So therefore the Gemara concedes again and says, Eli ikasha hakasha, if there was a contradiction, it's later on in that Mishnah, which again the Gemara is going to pose as the contradiction. Where Bishami say, one is not allowed to remove the tracen, which are the shutters from the store on Yom Tov. That is, that it had these doors by the windows of the shops, where they would close up the windows at nighttime with these shutters, and then by the daytime they would take off these things and they would place it in front of them, and on that they would use like it's some type of a table, and they would lay down the spices to sell for the people. Now, how this relates to Yom Tov is because actually on Yom Tov a person is allowed to purchase something from the storekeeper as long as he doesn't mention the monetary amount, so then there's no problem with Mekel Memkel, you're not really doing anything wrong by taking it and paying back after Yom Tov. Now, in related to that, Bishami says that one's not allowed to remove those shutters from the windows on Yom Tov to place it out during the daytime. Ubisil matirin avlahagza. Bishil actually say, not only are you permitted to take care of, you're even allowed to put it back to close up the store at nighttime. Now, closing the shutters at nighttime most definitely has no Yom Tov purpose, because by taking it off, you could say, okay, that's a Tzarich Yom Tov, so people could get what they need from the storekeeper on Yom Tov. Now, however, putting it back, it doesn't. Now, even if we say that there's no what's called binyan bekelim, there's no isra of building by vessels. Now, however, even if you can say the shutter is not a binyan per se, so you're not doing a melacha, but at least by putting it back, it's what's called a tircha delav tzarch. It's an exertion that's not necessary, and therefore that should be prohibited because we don't allow any unnecessary tirchas on Yom Tov. And yet still we see the Bissel says it's permitted. Must be because if we don't let you take it off, which is a Yom Tov need, so that people could, it could be like a table that people could purchase their spices from the storekeeper, you're not going to take it off because you're not able to put it back. And therefore, we conclude from that Mishnah is that Amigabi Simchas Yom Tov is there. We see regarding the mitzvah of rejoicing in Yom Tov, that Bisham Elochom and Bisil Kulo, Bisham is stringent, you're not allowed to even take it off. And Bisil says, not only allowed to take it off, you're allowed to put it back. Because if you're not gonna let you put it back, you're not gonna take it off, and then it's gonna be holding back people from getting the spices they need for Yom Tov, which will be Mineh Simchas Yom Tov. Now, Vermina, that's a contradiction with the first Mishnah in Amasach that says Hashechet Chayv Oif B'Yom Tov B'Chulu. Someone that slaughters a wild animal and bird on Yom Tov, there Beishama is the Mekel, and Beishil is being Machmer regarding an Inya of Simchas Yom Tov being able to slaughter the animal to eat its meat on Yom Tov. So the Gemara goes halfway and says, so Bishlam Beishami Beishami Likasha. So you could say that Rabbi Yechon wouldn't have to be Mechlefes Hashit over here, that you would be able to say that Beishama is not a contradiction. Because you could say, as we've been saying all along, Nahasim Deikud Deker Noitz. There, again, you have the spade already stuck in from before Yom Tov, so essentially you're not doing anything wrong. You have it that it's already loose dirt, and you're not doing Chayfer, and there's no Binyan because you don't need the pit that's going to be made from it, so it's considered Kilkel. It's also not Mukta. However, Hachaleka Deker Noitz. Here, you don't have that element of the spade stuck in. In other words, you don't have any reason to say heter over here, because Beishami actually hold that yesh binyan bekelim, there is considered building by vessels, not even just with a building structure, and therefore there would be a problem with the shutter, albeit that it's a kli of a problem of binyan. So therefore it makes sense that there he's mekel, here he's machmer. El Beishil HaBeishil Kasha, but Beishil is a contradiction, because if over here he's being lenient, which is putting it back, which doesn't even have any tzarech Yom Tov, and it is a tircha that you don't need, but still they allow it because they're also not going to take it off in the first place. So most definitely that's a difficulty regarding Hazla Halacha by Kisadam. Why over there is Imachmer if it has a Simchas Yom Tov component to it? And therefore, on that is what Rabbi Yechonon Mukhlefes Hashita. So you have to say that the opinions have to be switched, because Beis Hill we see over there is being Machmer, over here is being Mekel, and they seem to be the same idea, so therefore one of them has to be switched. Some have the gear, so which Rashi does not have, Inami, or if you want, you could say, as other Girsois, as Marshal has, adds on the word Dimolahi. Maybe it's not the case, and therefore you wouldn't even in this Raya have to say like Rabbi Yechonon Mukhlefes Hashita. Because Ad Kan Lekamri Beis Hil Hacha, where do we find Beis Hil over here that's being lenient? That's Elam Shum, the In Binyan Bekalim, and Steer Bekalim, because there is nothing wrong being done over here. There's no building, there's no destruction that comes in regards to a Kli, which is what the shutter is. Never, there's nothing wrong, we're taking it off, I'm putting it back on. And that's why he's lenient. Aval Hasam Loi, but there you cannot say that. There is a real halachic problem. That's because of the digging in the ground. And as we said, that there's a concern about that you might come to do kaisish, which is a malacha deraisa of toichin. And therefore, over there, Bishil was machman, here he's mekon. Therefore, you really never have to say this halacha, Rabbi Yechonon, of Mukhlefes Hashita. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnahs of Shevich, of the Dovecot, which is where the pigeons, the doves, would be inside over there in the different holes. So the Mishnah continues with this halacha regarding Yom Tov, about how to get those birds out that you want to be able to eat them on Yom Tov. So Bishami and Bishami say, Lo yitel, a person is not allowed to take one of the doves, the pigeons, elam kein nananeyim imo'idyim, only if he already had held them and shaken them, in other words, taken physical possession of them from before Yom Tov and said, this is the one I want, only then can you use it on Yom Tov. They argue, they say, no, a person could even stand and say from afar, this one and this one I'm taking, I'm going to actually hold it and shake it, even that's enough considered of hazmana, of preparation, that it shouldn't be considered muktzah, or that any malacha problem will happen. Now, on this, the Gemara qualifies their machlekes. Amar Rav Chanan bar Ami, machlekes bebrecha rishayna. Their machlekes is regarding the first brood, that is, the way that was the derech, that's normative, for those who breed these pigeons that they leave the first brood of every year to be an accompaniment for the mother. Now, that the reason is because the way pigeons give birth is that every single month they have another brood, which that's two birds, one a male and one a female, and they stop at the Tkufa of Tevis, and then they go back and they continue having children in Nisan time. So that is what Rav Chanan bar Ami says, that was the machlokes in our Mishnah regarding, do you have to hold it before Yom Tov or not, was regarding this first brood, which generally they don't take, they leave it there, as an accompaniment for the mother. The Bishami Sabri Gazrinon, because Bishami said that we are making a decree, we're concerned that when you're going to take it tomorrow, if you didn't hold on to it from before Yom Tov, Dilma Osim Luchi, maybe you're going to change your mind, maybe you're going to feel bad, and you're going to say that, oh, I don't want to take it away from the mother, I want to leave it there, and then you're going to end up taking it for no purpose, for no utility, because you're going to take it, and then you're going to feel bad, and you're going to put it back, and that was not permitted, because then it wasn't for a Yom Tov purpose. But if you went, and you shook it, and you held it from before Yom Tov, and you were holding it, then you're going to slaughter it, and you had no mercy on them, so then we're not concerned that when it comes the next day on Yom Tov, that then you will have mercy, you're just going to take it, and slaughter them, and eat them on Yom Tov. So that's the difference between if you held them or you didn't hold them. Now, and again, that's only regarding the first brecha. We don't make such a decree. We're not concerned that you're going to change your mind on Yom Tov. You're going to feel bad that you're going to slaughter them. You're just going to take them, and therefore you don't have to hold it from before Yom Tov. However, this is what Rav Chanan bar Ami is saying, but regarding the second brood, and there everyone agree, even Bishamai, that even if you're standing from afar and say, this one or this one I'm going to take, it's okay, you don't have to actually hold it, it's only the first brood, which generally they don't take, they leave it to be in the company from the mother, that we're concerned is going to have a change of heart on Yom Tov, therefore you have to actually hold it so that you become, on some level, some more callous, that you're not going to be afraid the next day to just go ahead and shech them and slaughter them, and therefore that was where Bishamai said this gezeira, but by Bricha Shnia, there's no such a concern. Now, on the opinion of Beis Hillel, the Gemara asks the following question. Beis Hillel, why does Beis Hillel have to say, so he's being more lenient than Beis Shammai. And he says, you don't have to hold it, you could just say this one and this one I'm going to take. So on that, the Gemara is asking, why do you even have to say this one and this one? As if you're pointing out which are the ones you're going to take on Yom Tov. Why don't you just say, from here, these, you don't have to pinpoint which ones I'm going to take tomorrow. Now, so the Gemara says, now, v'chitem, if you're going to say that the reason why Beis Hillel had to say pinpoint which ones and couldn't just say from here in the general area is because Beis Hillel, lest the Hubreira, Beis Hillel does not hold of the halacha of retroactive clarification. Now, and therefore, if the person takes tomorrow, maybe these are not the ones that he had prepared and set aside, and because he didn't set aside all of them to take, only how much he needed, and since it's not going to be clear, we don't say Brera that, oh, this must be those that he prepared, and therefore maybe it's not those, and hence then you're being over on the halachas of Muktzah, and that's why you have to pinpoint which ones, because he doesn't say retroactive clarification. But that's the Gemara of Atnan, but we learn the Mishnah in Olis that seems to say not like that, that we do say it works retroactively, and hence Beis Hillel shouldn't have to say these and these, because even if he just says from these in general, then it's going to be the one that he takes is the one that we say was the one that he originally had indicated for. Because the Mishnah says, regarding halachas of tumah in the oil, it says hames bebayis, if there's a corpse, a dead body in the house, v'loy pesachem harbe, and there are many openings leading out of the house. Now, and either it's talking about that they're all open or that they're all closed. So then the halacha is kulon tumeim. Now all the door openings are all going to transmit tumah to the vessels that are in their space of the doorway, underneath the thickness of the lintel and of the opening of this house that's oil, that's tummy. Now, even though it's not underneath the roof of the oil itself, but the chamim will geyser tumah on any place which is a possibility where the tumah is going to leave, because since we don't know from which one it's going to be taken out from, so they're all tummy. In other words, the one that it's going to be taken out from, that halal, that space of that doorway is the one that becomes tummy. But here, since they're all open or they're all closed, so therefore it's not indicative of which one you're going to take it out from, so we say that they all have that tumah. Now, however, niftach echad mihem, if after the person had died, only later did they open up one of the doorways, so then the halacha is hu tamei, then all the vessels that are there, whether they were there from before or whether they were brought afterwards from outside, they're all going to be tamei. They're all going to be tamei because this is the one that they're going to be taking it out from, so therefore this is the one that has that tamei. V'kulan taharin, however, all the other openings, all the other doorways will be tahar. Now, this is according to everybody, at least, because everyone agrees that Mikan Elabo, from here on, the vessels that are going to be coming after this point that it was already designated which ones can be taken out from, if you have vessels coming from the outside, then those are all going to be tar, because for sure they're going to be taken out of that other one, and that's why all the other ones don't have this halacha of transmitting tumma to their door space anymore. Now, that was regarding if one of the doorways were subsequently opened up. What's the halacha if chishiv lohit siya be'echemhem? Let's say they were all either open or closed, but then the person thought which one he's going to want to take it out from, but that was just a thought. Or not even through one of the doorways, but even through at least a window that has 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim squared, which that was what Chachamim estimated is the requisite shear to be able to take a dead body out of that area. Matzelas al kol habsachim kulin. Then that will save from all the other doorways from transmitting tumah as if it was open, even though it wasn't actually open, but just he thought, okay, I know which one I'm going to take him out from. That already becomes the one, and therefore all the other ones are not going to transmit tumah anymore. However, there is a machlokes exactly how to define the parameters of this halacha. Beshamim, they say, v'hu shechishiv lohitziyai ad shelo yomas hames. But that's only if this thought that one had decided to take it out from that doorway, if that was before the person had died. Then we'll say that then that's going to be the doorway and all the other ones will be tar. But if it would be afterwards, then it wouldn't have accomplished because you have to do a ma'isa. Ubisilim, however, Basil said that no, af mishri yomas hames, even after the person had died and there's tum in the oil, once a person thinks about which doorway he wants to use, that becomes the one and all the other ones will be tar. Now, the Gemara assumes right now, which is what the Gemara's question is that the machlokes b'sham b'sil is regarding this halachic principle of breira, of retroactive clarification. And that is regarding the vessels that were there, that were between the time of when the person had died and when the thought was, okay, I know which door I want to take him out of from. And that b'sham b'sil, that we don't say that breira, that retroactive clarification, that was his thought. That, in other words, that was the one, even from before the person died, that was the one he would want to take them out from, and therefore that's the only one that's tamei and not the other ones. He doesn't say that. Therefore, it's not going to help once the person died, because we don't say retroactive clarification. And it's only if you had thought about it before he died. Whereas Basil hold that, no, yesh breira, we'll say retroactive clarification, and therefore, not only are we going to say from here on, that the tum will only be in the one that you decide on, even in just your thought, but even from the beginning, there will never have been any tumah that was from the time of the death till the time you made the decision in all the other doorways. Now, Rashi just clarifies and says, now, based on what the Gemara is assuming right now, and then we hold that when one of them is opened, then there's also going to be the same achlekes regarding the vessels, regarding that were there in the beginning. However, this that we had said that regarding all the other ones, they're going to be tar, according to everybody, that was only regarding the vessels that are brought from here on. Now, however, one thing that we see from this is what the Gemara's question is, that we see that Beis Hill holds up Breira, because they say that if, let's say, at 10 o'clock in the morning is when the person died, and only at noon did the person decide which one the doorway is going to want to use, Beis Hill holds, not like Beis Shammai, that from here on we'll say the other doorways will not transmit tumah to the vessels in their airspace, but even actually from 10 a.m. when it died, there will never have been a tumah on the other doorways, because Breira says retroactively, oh, that was the one that, because if there would be a door open, it would only be through that one, not the other ones. Now, when you decided, that tells us that initially that was always what you had wanted to do, and there was never a tum in the other ones. Now, that contradicts the halacha that we're talking about over here, where we're finding that Beis Hillel says, even though he's more lean to Beis Shammai, but he says that you have to say, this one I'm going to want to use from these birds tomorrow. But why do you have to say that? Just say, Mikan, and then Breir will tell us that those are the ones that you wanted to have from before Yom Tov. So that the Gemara answers, it's not true. They're actually, in the Mishnah and others that we just quoted, they're not arguing about Breira. Because Ha'id Ma'lo, we learned regarding the Machlokes that Amar Rabba, Letar es Absochim Mikanu Labo. Their Machlokes was regarding purifying the other doorways from here on. That is where Beis Hillel said that's going to be tar. And that even according to Beis Hillel, they do not hold of this principle of Breira. And that the only vessels that they're saying that are tar are those that come afterwards, after the thought. From those at, let's say it was at noon that you decided which one it is, then from there on, then those vessels from the other doorways are not going to be tummy. But the ones that were there before, between, let's say, 10 a.m. when the person had died and noon, those are going to be tummy. Now, Bishame that says there will be tummy, he's going even on the later ones, that they're coming even after the thought, still doesn't help. Because Bishame holds that once there was already halachic principle of tumah by the other doorways, because before you decided which one you wanted to take the mess out from, then that, we said all the doorways will have the tumah for their airspace, then Beis Shammai holds, then it will not be removed from that status until you actually do a maisa, an action. For example, if let's say all the doors were closed and then you open one of them, then we say when one of them is open, then nobody argues that then mikan laba, then there's not going to be tumah anymore in the other doorways. But that's what the Gemara is answering right now, that it's not a question on Basil, because actually Basil holds that you have to pinpoint which bird you want to use, because we do not hold the Brera. There in the Machlekes, in the Mishnah, Masechtas Alis, was talking about actually Mikan Laba. And the Machlekes was, is a thought enough? Or like Bishamah holds that, no, once we really designated Tumah in all the doorways, to remove that status, you have to actually do a Maisa to open up one of the doorways, and not enough to think about it. But retroactively, even Basil would agree that that will not remove the Tumah from the other doorways. And so to Rabbi Yishai says the same thing in qualification of that Mishnah, Masechtas Alis, that Letaras HaPesachah Mikan Laba, that they were arguing about regarding purifying the other doorways from here on. And that is Mikan Laba in Mafreya Lo. That's only from here on, but not retroactively, and therefore there's no question regarding Basil's Halacha in our Mishnah, because you have to specify, because we do not say Breira to say those were the ones that you had wanted initially. Now the Gemara gives a different approach to answer this question. Rav Amar, he says, Lo'olam L'Mafreya. Truthfully, you could say that even retroactively, Beis Hillel is being metahar the vessels from the other doorways, because he holds a brera. Now, b'hacha, however, then what's the understanding in our Mishnah? Hainu tama, the reason why you have to specify to say that these are the ones I'm going to take, and you can't just say mikan, is because dilma maybe tomorrow on Yom Tov, metaltel, you're going to start moving around the birds, and you're going to start checking for the fattiest ones for the best. Vishavik, and then you're going to leave this one, then you're going to take another one, and metaltel v'shavik, you're going to move it around and then leave it, because you're checking from one to the next, and you're not satisfied which one. V'kumetaltel midi d'lei chazalei, and you're going to end up moving all these other birds that you don't need. In other words, the ones that they were not prepared, because the person had only, even if he says mikan, but only that you wanted was just enough that you would need on Yom Tov. Now that's why you have to say zev v'zani noitel, this one and this one I'm going to take. Because then tomorrow, by default, those are the ones you're going to take, and therefore you're not going to be moving around all the other ones saying, well, let me see, which is the best one? You know, not this one, not this one. Now, by doing that, you're touching things which were never purposed for, did not have the intention or the preparation for your use tomorrow, because it's only the ones how much you need. Now, if let's say you needed 3 birds and you're touching 15 birds till you get to the one, those were never included, and those are also to move around on Yom Tov. That's why, not because there's a problem with Mikan Aninoitel, because we do say Brera. But if you're not going to say Elu V'Elu, and therefore take just the ones you had pointed out, you're going to be moving around those that you don't need, and that's a problem. But now the Gemara asks, but Va'amrit, but you said, and these are the words of Basil, that Ba'imid, when the person's standing far away, and he could be Ba'imid, he could be saying without touching the birds, Zevazani Naitel, this and this one I'm going to take. Now, obviously, that we're talking about that yesterday, you didn't check out which ones were the lean ones, which ones were the fatty ones, and therefore we should still be concerned, and yet we say Sagi, we say that it is enough. Why is that enough that we're saying that you could be saying from afar, but you don't know which ones are the ones that are fatty and which ones are the ones that are not so good? And why do we allow you then to do it from afar if you're not going to be able to notice this? And then we should still be concerned that you're going to come to move it around and say, no, not this one, because this is not good enough for my Yom Tov meal. So that the Gemara answers, no, that Hanim Ilim Erev Yom Tov, that would only be that what we're talking about from before Yom Tov. In other words, where the person knows from before Yom Tov that this one and this one I'm designating, then we don't have to be concerned anymore, like the Gemara is asking right now, whether it's going to be lean or fatty. You're still not going to take any other ones because you know that the ones that you didn't designate are muktzah. That's obvious, and that's why the person's preparing. We know that why he's preparing. The only question was, why do you have to prepare elu be'elu? Just say mikan, and therefore it'll be designated. Now, however, the reason why we're saying elu be'elu is not a concern, even though it's from afar and you couldn't tell if it's fatty or lean, doesn't make a difference. Because even if you come to the next day on Yom Tov, see it's lean, you know you can't take any other ones besides the ones you designated, and you only designated elu be'elu. However, the Gemara continues, Amud Beis, al b'Yom Tov, but if we would do, like we said, mikan, and that is, you would only be verifying on Yom Tov which ones are the ones that you want to take, that you did not clarify elu ve'elu, like we had asked before, just say mikan, and you rely on your checking on it tomorrow, that's asur, that's forbidden. The zimnin, the mishtak hishmanim, because sometimes it could turn out that the ones that on Erev Yom Tov seemed fatty will really be kushim, are really going to be the ones that when you touch it and you feel it, you'll see that it's really lean. Ukhushim Shmainim, and the ones that seem lean are the ones that are gonna be fatty. Ukumatalta me did lechazal, and then you're gonna be moving around different birds that you have no utility for, and that's considered muktzah because it doesn't have a yomtiv purpose, and that's why we can't say mikan, and you have to say elu elu, where then you'll know those are the only ones you could touch and take. Inami. Also, moreover, is that zimnid mishtakhi kulu khushim. Another concern that would be if we only said mikan and you don't pinpoint which ones you're taking, that it could be on yomtiv when you finally come closer, then you find that they're all lean. Vishavaklu, and therefore you're going to leave it. Vaslamnui misimchas yamtiv, and then you're going to hold back. You're not going to be able to fully rejoice in the rejoicing of yamtiv. Now, that is what the Gemara is saying, that would only apply if you had not verified your words before yamtiv by saying elu b'elu. Therefore, if you just looked from afar and said, oh, okay, you know, mikan ani noitel, I'll be taking from here without looking and specifying which ones, then you could rely on the lie that you're telling yourself. And you say, you know what, it's not possible from this whole bunch of birds that are here, that's not going to be at least two or three that are good. But tomorrow you're going to come, you can see they're all not good quality. But this is what the Gemara is answering, why even if you say Basil holds Yesh Breira, why you have to say Elu V'Elu, but when you require him to clarify and say these are the ones I'm going to want, then these are the only ones he relies on, whether they're fatty or whether they're lean, because that was his intention when he prepared it. When he's going to come, he's not going to hold back because he knows he picked out these, and therefore even if it's not the quality he wants, he's still going to take it, and that's why Basil says Elu V'Elu, even if you could say that it would hold Yesh Breira, that regarding that halacha, it wouldn't be muktzah, but just because then he might come to move around other ones, or because he might come to actually not take any and then hold back from Simchas Yamtiv. Now the next Mishnah continues with along the themes of the previous Mishnayis regarding this halacha that we said that one has to designate from before Yamtiv which birds he's going to want to use, because or else it's going to be considered muktzah. He has to make it mukhanim, prepared that these are the ones he's going to use for yamtiv. Then on yamtiv you're allowed to take it and slaughter it and do all the other malachas because they're permitted for eichel nefesh. So our Mishnah tells us what happens in certain cases where it's not clear that if these are the ones that you had prepared from before yamtiv. That is zimen shcharim. If let's say the person had prepared and designated black birds that were there, and those are the only ones there. Tomorrow umatzah, he comes and all of them are levanim, they're all white. Now those are definite that the ones that he had prepared and designated are not these, and they left, and these are other ones, which they came from somewhere else in the world, and they came to this dovka. Or similarly, levanim umatzah shcharim. Let's say he designated white ones, and those are the only ones there, and now they're not there, and there's a bunch of black ones there. Or shnayim umatzah shleisha. Or if he had designated two birds, and now he finds three birds, and he doesn't recognize the ones that he had prepared, so then they're all going to be asurim, all these cases are going to be forbidden, because they're not the ones they had designated, and therefore they're considered muktzah. However, shleishu matzah shnayim mutarm. If he designated three and he finds only two birds there, they're permitted, because we say that one of them left, and these are the two that are remainders from the, at least from the three that he had prepared, and we don't say that since one of them obviously left, so to all of them left, and that these are other ones, we don't say. Then we say these are the remaining two which he had prepared, and therefore they're not muktzah. Now, let's say b'teich hakein umatzah lefnei hakein. Let's say he designated them when they were inside their nest. Then he finds them outside of the nest. And that is inside the nest, he actually doesn't find any of them. And that the Mishnah tells us asurin. Then they're going to be forbidden. The Gemara will explain exactly the premise of this halacha. But the im ain't sham elohim, but if they're the only ones are them, then harilu mutarin, then they're going to be permitted. Now the Gemara asks on the first halacha of our Mishnah, where if you prepared black ones and you don't find black ones, rather you find white ones, then they're going to be asur. The Gemara asks, pshit, it's pretty obvious. I mean, these are obviously not those that you prepared, and therefore they're muktzah because they weren't designated from before yamtiv for the yamtiv utility, and therefore they're muktzah. So that Amar Rabbi clarifies that the case of our Mishnah was talking about, actually that the person had designated from before yamtiv a group of black ones and white ones. In other words, in two different nests. Now, each nest is separated with walls and higher and roofs that are in every dovecot, which are made with many different floors and different walls between them. Now, the hishkim matzah shchayim b'makom levan. Now, the next morning, when he gets up, this that we said that he designated black and he found white, and he designated white and he found black, is talking about that he gets up and he finds shchayim b'makom levan. He finds black ones where the white ones had been yesterday. Well, levan b'makom shchayim, he finds white ones where the black ones were. Now, ma'u de tema, what would I have said? Why the halacha in the Mishnah is not so simple. Hani isnu ninu. I would have thought to say that these are the same ones. V'sapuchi is hapuch. They just switched places. The black ones went to where the white ones were, and the white ones went to the black one, but I had designated both of them for the purpose of eating them on Yom Tov. K'mash malam, that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. That hanach azul amon. Now we say the ones that had originally been in either compartment, they left somewhere in the world. V'hanach rinin, these are other ones from the world, and therefore it's going to be aser. That's the chiddush of our Mishnah. Now that the Gemara asks, if that's the case, if this is the case of our Mishnah, let's say this supports the halacha of Reb Chanina. The Reb Chanina, Reb Chanina says in Masechtas Baba Basra and Perek LeYachper that Reiv v'Karev. Now, Reiv and Karev are two halachic principles that we use to clarify cases of doubt, which either we go after the Reiv, after the majority, or we go after Karev, what's closer. Again, either one are halachic principles. What do we do when they're contradictory principles, the Reiv and Karev? And let's say there's a story that happens regarding halachic question, and you could say that it was the thing that was close nearby to it, whether that makes it permitted or forbidden. Or you could also say that maybe there's a majority that says the exact opposite of the premise of what's nearby. And there Reb Chanina says, halach achar Reiv, the majority is the overriding factor more than the proximity of the other thing. Now, our Mishnah seems to be saying the same thing, because you could say that these black ones are the ones that were yesterday right next door in the nest on the other side. So to the white ones, and just to say that they switched places. Yet in spite of that, the way the Gemara just explained that, we do not say that it was the one that was carved. Rather, we say it came from the world, which is from the majority of the birds in the world, which is from the Reiv, called the Parash Merubah Parash. The majority of the birds in the world are not the ones that were here next door. So it seems to illustrate Reb Chanina's principle that when you have a Reiv and Karev, you go after the Reiv. And I think Mar says, no, it's not a Reiv. Because actually, we could say like Abaye says later on, that we're talking about Bedaf. We're talking about that there's a board that's in front of the Dovkat, which sticks out from this house, this birdhouse. Now, where that's where the other doves from the world, from all those that are out there, they always come there and they perch themselves there on those boards. Now, they're afraid to come into the nest itself, into the birdhouse, because the birds that are inside those nests, they chase them away from coming inside. However, when the birds from the Dovkat come outside, then the birds from the world come back inside. Now, that's what Abaye is talking about later on, where he defines this halacha of daf. And therefore, hachan nami bedaf, we could say that our Mishnah is also talking about that there's this board that sticks out from the dovkat, and therefore we are concerned that maybe from that board, that's where these new birds that took the place of where the other birds were, because they used to be black, now they're white, or white and they're black, that's where they came into these nests. And that's why they're forbidden. Because actually, we're talking about that even the ones that are on the board are from the world, they're also close by, which is just as close as the ones in the other cane, in the other nest nearby on the other side of the wall. And that's why we go after the Reiv. Because actually, it's not Reiv versus Karev. Maybe we could say it's not like Reb Chanina. That if we had a debate between Reiv and Karev, we would go after the one that's closer. But here it's not Reiv versus Karev. The majority is also Karev, because the birds in the world always perch themselves on these board, which is right near the Ken too. So we have two Karevs, which one of them is Reiv, and that's why we'll say that the halacha will be like the Reiv, but if it was Reiv versus Karev, let's say the majority did not have that board, and then we would have Karev versus Reiv, then maybe we wouldn't say like Reb Chanina, and we would say that you go after what's nearby, and that we would say it is those, they just switch places. Now the Gemara continues quoting our Mishnah, that said, Shnayim u'matzah shleishav. Let's say you left two birds that you had designated. Now you come and you find three. So that the Mishnah said, Asurin, they're forbidden. So the Gemara explains the reason why they're forbidden is manavshach, which is a common colloquial term that is, either way you look at it, you cannot permit these birds to be eaten on Yom Tov. Because iachrinininu, if these are other birds, so then hachrinininu, so then they're other birds and you had not designated them before Yom Tov, when they were then muktzah. Viloachrinininu, and even if you say they're not other birds, but ha'ikachad ma'arvbahu, there is at least one that you had not designated, that third one, you only had designated two, and therefore, that one's mixed in. You don't know which one it is. You might be eating from, even if you take only two, you might be eating the muktzah one because you only designated two. And that's why when you left two and then there's three, you cannot eat them and they're considered muktzah. However, the Mishnah told us, shleisha matzah shnayim. If you designated three and then you find two, then mutaran, then they're going to be permitted. Now, that the Gemara asks, my time, or what's the reason? On that, the Gemara says, you say, Hani, inhu, ninu, you say, these are them, meaning you had designated three, these two, even the one left, You say, V'chad minai ozl alma. You don't say that since one left, that means all of them left, and that these are two new ones. You say, no, there were three, one left, and you left for two, and therefore these are from the three that you had designated, and therefore it's not mokta. Now, however, the Gemara asks, now, what this means is that lema masnit ni rebbe hivul rabbanan. So it would seem to be, as the Gemara will illustrate now from a braisa, that means our Mishnah is like Rebbe and not like Rabbanan. But that's difficult, because if our Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah, and the Halacha is like an anonymous Mishnah, now, however, how could our Mishnah be like Rebbe if we know that, as the Gemara says elsewhere, the Halacha is like Rebbe, only when he argues with a single disputant, but which means Halacha k'Rebbe mi'chavei roi, but not mi'chavei rov, not when he argues on the Rabbim, when he argues with a Rabbanan, with many. And yet we know that this halacha that seems to be in our Mishnah, which seems to be like Rebbe, is a halacha he argues on with the Rabbanan, and therefore the halacha should not follow like him. So how could our Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah, which means the halacha is like him, be like him if the Rabbanan arguing him? To tell like learn the Braisa that this is a machlokes. The Braisa says, Hiniach mana. If someone left a mana of money of Meiser in a box. Now, umatzim esayim, then he finds double, he finds 200. So on that, the halacha is, it's considered chulna meiser sheni murav and zebezet. It's considered as if you have the meiser sheni money, which was the one money that you left. The second one now is going to be considered chulin, unconsecrated. Now, you don't know which one is the original meiser sheni one and which one is the one that's chulin. So what you do is you take the best of the two and you say, if this is the one that's meiser so good, this is the one I'm going to be taking up to Yerushalayim for Meiser. If it's the Chulun one, then you could do what's considered a process of Chilul. You could deconsecrate the one that's really Meiser on these, and then you'll be, either way, taking up the Meiser one, but the rest will be Chulun. Div Rebbe, that's the words of Rebbe. B'chamer, they say, no, HaKol Chulun. They're all considered Chulun. Now, the reason is that since you didn't find it the way you left it, you left only one month, and then you find Masayim 200. So then, we are Toila, we suspend it in a lenient fashion, and we say that, no, must be that the first one you had already taken and you put it somewhere else. Now, you must have left it and then forgotten it and brought something else over here. Because the reason is, Rabban hold, that a person doesn't leave money of Chulin together with the money of Meister together. Now, if you left one and now you find two, it wouldn't make sense to say, because we only knew we had only one month of Meister Sheni money, that we had added to it Chulin money. Now, we just don't remember what happened. But it must be that we had taken that one mana of Meiser Sheni, put it somewhere else, forgotten where we had, and then taken just Masayim of Chulin and put it here. That's why they're all going to be considered Chulin. The similar case in reverse, Haniach Masayim, if you left 200 of Meiser Sheni money, Umatza mana, then you find only half of that, then we say, Mana Munachu Mana Mutal Divi Rebbe. Rebbe holds that we say that, look, there was 200, now there's half. We say that half of it was left, and half of it was taken, and therefore the half that's left over is still going to be considered Meister money. The Chachamim HaKal Chulun, however, the Chacham hold that no, it's all considered Chulun, and therefore, in other words, since you didn't take it up to Yerushalayim, so then we don't say that you're going to separate part from the other part. And we say rather what you obviously did is that you took both of them, of the Meister money, the Messiah, and you put it somewhere else. And this must be Chulun, and that is you put it over here afterwards, and then you forgot. And therefore, it's all going to be considered chulin because you don't split them up. Both in regards to mixing them together, you don't mix it. And also, you don't split up taking half and leaving the other half. So therefore, by both cases, Rabban hold it's entirely chulin. Versus, and Rebbe will hold that both of them, there will be an element of Meister in there. Now, the question is that it seems that our Mishnah is like Rebbe. Because this is what we're saying in our Mishnah, that these are them. If you had three and then you left with two. So we say that even though you're missing one, you don't say that these are other ones, you say these are them. Now that seems to be the exact principle of Rebbe, where he says that if you started with Masayim, you left with Mana, that these are them, and that they're other ones. Now how could we say that our Mishnah is like Rebbe if he argues with Rabbanan, and the Halach is not like Rebbe when he argues with Chaverov? So that the Gemara answers, I feel it him Rabbanan. We could say actually that our Mishnah is like Rabbanan, because by Itmar Allah, we had an explanation of that Machlekes of Rebbe and Rabbanan, that Rebbe Yechon and Rebbe Lozer and Tavai, they both say that Shani Geizalis, the case of our Mishnah of the birds are different. And that is, that's why you could say in our Mishnah that one of them left, but the remaining two, that we have only two now, are those original two, is because hoil vasu, and since it's normative for birds, ledadois, to one by one, go ahead and just move and shuffle their way out and in and in and out, and they come. And therefore we could say that, look, maybe one left and these are two remaining ones. But money doesn't go by itself unless if you took it. And therefore, we say, if you took it, you took all of it. You took both of them. And therefore, this that you have one money now must be chulin money. And therefore, it's no difficulty. We could say that our Mishnah is like the Rabbanon because it's different than the case of the money, which doesn't go by itself. And therefore, we say, if you took it, you took all of it, this must be chulin, but which is not the case by birds. They can move by themselves. And that's why even the Rabbanon would agree that the remaining two are from the original three. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this answer, v'lamali, why did we need that for Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, lishnuya law, to say in way of explanation? In other words, why did they have to give such a contrived answer for a Mishnah to answer that shana gezalis, that birds are different than the case that of the, that the Rabbana argued Rabbi regarding ma'aser money, that is because hayu ba'asuin l'dadu, since they move by themselves. But the question is, according to them, the Pin Rabbanan makes sense even without the explanation that birds are medadis, that they move by themselves. Because of our idma law dahi, because we had said in way of explanation of that machlek is, Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Elazar, that both Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Elazar, that they argue regarding that price that we quoted of the Maisa money as follows. Chadamer b'shnei kisin machlekes. One of them says that this whole machlekes in Rebbe and Rabbanan is only when there were two separate purses. And that is, that's where Rebbe says that when there are two purses, one mana here and one mana here, those are the Messiah mana of the Meister money. That's where Rebbe says that if you're left with half, we could say that, look, one purse was taken of the Meister money, but the other purse was left with the Meister money. Al-Bakis Echad, but when it was in one purse, Devrakol Chulin, then there, everyone would agree, even Rebbe, that the entirety will be Chulin, because you don't take out half the money of Meister and leave the other half of money. So if you find a purse with half the amount of money, even Rebbe would agree that we're not going to split them up, and therefore it's all going to be Chulin. That's one interpretation of these two opinions of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar regarding the Machlekes of Rebbe and Rabbanan in that Braisa. Chadam, the other one, says that no, because echad machlekes. Actually, their whole machlekes was only by one purse. And that is, that's where the Rabbanan say that if you're taking it, look, you're going to take all the money in the purse, you're not going to leave half the money. Abishnei kisin, but when they're two different wallets, debri hakel mana munach mana mutal. There, everyone, even the Rabban, would agree that if they're two different purses, then we don't say that you're going to take both purses. Maybe you only need one purse, and therefore the other purse, we will say it's going to be the remainder of the ma'aser money, and that it's not chulun. Now the Gemara, the one who's asking the question, concludes his explanation to explain what he's asking. And that is, Bishloim Lamando Amar Bishnei Kisa Machlekes. So we can understand, according to the one who interpreted that Machlekes and that Braisa, that the Rabbanan and Rebbe had argued regarding two purses, which is similar to the case of our Mishnah, which are these two birds. That is, Hainu de Itzok Lishnui Hacha. That's why they had to answer to explain the case of our Mishnah. If we wanted to say that it's like Rabbanan, not just like Rebbe, that Shana Gizal is that the birds are different than the case of the purse of the money, Hayol Vasun Ladadis, since they tend to move by themselves. Because if we didn't have that point of differentiation between the Gizalis and the Kisin and the case of the money of the Meiser, that because they move, then we would say that even though that there are two, as they say by the two Kisin, that we would take all of them. And therefore, they had to say that. So then what's the case of why is it different if we want to say it's like Rabbanan, that the remaining two are going to be from the original ones. If someone takes one, he takes all of them. Therefore, we'll assume it's other ones. Why don't you say that over here? So that's what I had to say, because there's a difference, because they move by themselves one by one. And therefore, it could be that just one left and not all of them. But according to one of their interpretations, that it's talking about that they only argue by one purse. But if there's two different purses, then everyone agrees, that there's no reason to assume that it's chulin. You don't necessarily take both purses, and therefore the leftover one will be meiser. So why do we need to say by way of explanation that the reason is that the case of the birds could be even like Rabbanan because they move by themselves, they're medadid. But you just said that according to everybody, according to this interpretation, that when there's two purses, no one argues, that will assume it is the leftover what had originally been there. And therefore, one of these Rabbanan, whether it be Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Elazar, who is saying that interpretation that they only argue by one purse, but by two purses they agree, so then why did we need to say both of them by way of an explanation of our Mishnah? That the reason why it could be like Rabbon is because Hoyil Vasun Ladadois, because since the birds tend to move around by themselves, but just say it's because since it's 2-3 birds. So it's like the case of Beis Kisan, which each one is independent entity. And therefore we say that even though one was taken, but the other one could be considered that it's its own thing, and therefore it is the remnant. Because if one takes one, doesn't mean he's taking all of them. So why do you have to say the Svara of Medadin if you're just saying it's just like Beis Kisan, where the Rabban agree to that? They're only arguing by one kiss, by one wallet, where you're not going to take half and take the other half, or be taking like half a bird. But here, since they're different birds, like different wallets, so why do you have to say the Svara of Medadin? So that on Rav Ashi says that Hacha, what we're talking about over here is Begizalis Mekusham. We're talking about actually that the birds are tied together. Bekisim Mekusham Eskim. We're talking about also that the purses are tied together. And that is, according to the one that says, which was the question that we were asking on, according to the one who says that it's only that they argue about by one purse, actually it's not really one purse. It's talking about two purses that are like one purse. What does that mean? We're talking about two purses that are tied together. Now this that we said, however, aval b'shnei kisin, that by two purses, divrei hakol mana munach amuna mutal, that everyone would agree according to that man the Amar in the interpretation of Machlekes Rebbein Rabbanan, that will say that only half was taken away, but the other half is still the remainder. That's when the two purses would not tie together. Now, therefore, however, our Mishnah would sound like when it's talking about the peers by the birds, even if all the three birds were tied together, that the remnants, it sounds like our Mishnah is saying, would still be permitted as if these are remaining two from those three. And we won't say that the ones that you prepared were totally taken and that these are other ones. Now, therefore, had we not said that birds are different, because since they tend to wander away by themselves, then we could not have said that our Mishnah is like Drabbanan. Because regarding when the purses are tied together, again, which was the case of what we're interpreting now, is the case of Kis Echad, the Rabbanan say that they're all chulun, because we assume that it was entirely taken away. Now, and therefore, that's essentially the same case of our Mishnah, which sounds like it's talking about even when the gazelle is on Mekusharim. Now, once, however, based on what we answered now we could say that the Mishnah could be even like Rabbanan, and the reason is because gazelles, the birds, that they tend to wander, so menatchi adadi. So then, although they were tied together, then they pull apart where they're tied together from the other one. And therefore, we could then say leniently and say that, oh, it could be that one of them left, and then these are the two remainder ones. However, kisin lemenatchi adadi, however, purses do not pull away from each other if they're tied together. Rather, if a person is coming and taking them, he's taking all of them since they're tied together. And therefore, that was the case of the Rabbanon of kis echad. So therefore, even according to this interpretation, that said that by two purses, everyone agrees, that was two purses that are not tied together. This that I said it was machlokes by kis echad didn't really mean one purse, it meant one purse tied together, which could be the same as the case of our Mishnah, that you have the birds tied together. And then if that's the case, Rabbanan are arguing on the Rebbe in that case, and therefore it would seem our Mishnah is not like Rabbanan, because they hold that you take all of it and not half of it. That's what we needed the smart to say, that the medadis, that the birds tend to wander off and they could pull off where they're attached to the other one. That's why even Rabban would agree, even though it is like kis echad, it is like one thing because they're tied together, still we could say that these are remaining two from those three, that only one wandered off because they're medadis. However, the other side of that equation of the machlekes of Rabban and Rabbi, Rabbi Amalach, however, Rabbi would tell you that even though, as we were saying now, that actually our Mishnah could be like the Rabbanan, because Rebbe would actually hold that kisin nami zimnin, that although that we're all agreeing regarding this case of gizalis, however the Rabbanan say, but regarding wallets that are tied together, then we say that obviously if someone took it, he took both of them together, and must be if you're left with only one purse out of the two, that it must be that it was entirely chulin. That Rebbe says that no, kisin nami zimnin, even by purses you have that sometimes, you continue on top of your alf and alf, dimis achal kitrai, that sometimes their knot falls apart. And therefore, it could be that if someone came to take the purses, he found them not knotted them together. Therefore, it would be like two different purses, not like his echad. And therefore, it could be that he grabbed one of them and went away. And that's why Rebbe would hold that even when there's the kis echad, which is really the two purses tied together, that it could be that it's mana munach and mana mutal, because actually someone that comes to take, even though he would take the one bundle, but it's not a bundle, similar to the case of Medadis, because the rope could just deteriorate and fall apart, and therefore it could be that he took just one purse and not the other, and that's why he held Nalak Drabbanan, that it's not chulun, but rather it's considered meiser money.